The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Hello, and welcome to Family First. I'm Randy Rolfe, your host, and I'm very excited about today's show. Before we start, though, I'm going to tell you something very fun. I've just published my sixth book called Princess Buttercup the Cat's Cross Country Road Trip Number 3. So if you go to Amazon, it's on there for Kindle, and in a week or two it'll be in a soft cover, very amusing, funny book. But now we're going to get very serious. One of the most distressing developments in child rearing in recent years is the amazing increase in the incidence of learning and behavior disorders, which affect families across the nation, ranging from mild to severe, including ADHD, dyslexia, autism spectrum disorders, and many more. Discussion continues whether to blame educators, parents, TV, video games, environmental toxins, or the family genes. But meanwhile, my guest today has found solutions. Dr. Albert Forwood has been helping children with learning and behavior problems for many, many years. Dr. Forwood has his board certification in the revered functional neurology program, an elite certification that less than 5% of doctors in his profession achieved. In 2009, Dr. Forwood opened the Brain Balance Center in Wayne, Pennsylvania, with an effective program that is helping kids in extraordinary ways with learning and behavioral disorders, regardless of the diagnostic name, and often major progress in a surprisingly short time because of the customized treatment and the focus on the actual cause of disorders. So before we talk to Dr. Forwood, I want to tell you a little more about his background. His path to helping kids with developmental disorders began with a head injury that left a young 17-year-old with severe debilitating migraine headaches, which took him off his feet 10 days per month. He consulted many doctors, including the chief neurologist at the University of Pennsylvania, who, like the doctors before, told him that he could not be helped. Dr. Forwood suffered for 7 more years before chiropractic removed suffering, and he spent the next 7 years studying chiropractic year-round to earn his doctorate in chiropractic. In 1990, he began his studies in neurology, 1 year after his colleague, Dr. Robert Melillo, the founder of the Brain Balance Centers, began the same neurology program. His colleague, Dr. Melillo, went on to teach neurology and developed a training program for neurologists to treat ADHD and other learning disorders. Later, Dr. Forwood became Dr. Melillo's student, and in 2009, he joined the Brain Balance team with centers that are now opening all over the country. And his center's in Wayne, Pennsylvania, near where I live in Pennsylvania. So welcome to Family First, Dr. Forwood.
Well, thank you for having me as a guest.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So I want to start out asking how you began in the study of healing arts. You started because you yourself had suffered such a long time with a head injury at the age of 17. Can you tell us a little more about that experience?
Well, yeah, it was quite a big problem because more than 10% of my time was spent in bed in a dark room to avoid the vomiting and terrible pain that came along with the headache. I had a dead end in terms of being able to be helped. And then, I stumbled into a chiropractor's office one day, and immediately I started to get some relief. And after some time, when I was back on my feet, I immediately started to pursue chiropractic as a career, and then I've been working at it ever since. I had a pretty busy practice in northern Delaware, and then in the 90s, when we started seeing these kids with problems and their parents started bringing them, traditional chiropractic methods worked on some of the kids. And so I got interested in it and tried a variety of different things. And then became aware of Dr. Malello's work, and we actually brought it into our practice with phenomenal results. The kids were just doing great, jumping multiple years of academic achievements and behavioral changes that were just phenomenal. And through that, I decided to go 100% with Brain Balance Centers, which are optimized to help the kids. And that was about a year and a half ago, and ever since, we're getting even the best results I've ever gotten with kids. So it's very exciting.
Oh, that's wonderfully exciting. Now, you mentioned, or I mentioned, I guess, that traditional neurology hasn't really recognized these amazing approaches. So you're really on the cutting edge of this as pioneers.
Well, that's true. And you know, Dr. Malello started trying to figure this thing out in the mid-1980s when he entered his neurology program and started to work in that program. And he had a child, two children, with learning disabilities. And he couldn't get good answers from the doctors as to actually what was wrong with their brains. And because he was studying neurology, he thought that, well, this has to be something wrong with their brains. And so he dove into the literature. He completed his neurology program and then began to teach in that program as a teacher. So he started to learn the material quite well. And then through that and reading scientific papers for many, many years, putting little pieces of it all together, finding out what he felt was the truth in the research and the important things in research. And by 1998, many years later, he had formulated the Brain Balance Program. And then he published his textbook on this in 2005. And when that textbook was published, it was acclaimed to be the first new theory in learning disorders in 30 years. We often have heard that phrase that insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Well, we've been basically approaching these problems in the same way for over 30 years, and the main approach now continues to be behavioral and academic. Dr. Malello believes that, and we all believe that, in the Brain Balance Program, that it's actually a problem in the brain's development, and that there's ways in which to change that to where we can normalize these areas of the brain. And as they normalize, the children lose their deficiencies and disabilities.
Yeah, I think that's such a powerful concept that it's not a degenerative condition. It's actually an immaturity which can be worked with.
That's correct. And it's discovered through a neurological, basically through a neurological approach. And that's been the foundation of the program. And we also take a cognitive approach, or approach in which the brain thinks cognitively, as well as the what we call sensory motor approach, which is the sensory motor systems.
Interesting. So this alarming increase in learning and behavior disorders, and seems like there's always a new diagnosis coming up of the oppositional disorder and that kind of thing. Can you share some of the statistics of how fast this has been growing?
Well, yes, it's a pretty phenomenal event that's happened, and we think that it's possibly the biggest threat to humanity that there is coming along. And unfortunately, not a lot of focus is on it yet. But well, for instance, we have statistics from the state of Florida that kept good records in terms of the kids who are enrolled in disability classes. And in 1971, 0.5, one half a percent of the kids were enrolled in these classes. And then every year, the number went up. And by 1996, there were actually about 5% that were enrolled in the class, a tenfold increase from half a percent to 5%. So this is a pretty big jump. And in 1992, the federal government saw this coming, and they actually passed laws that required school systems to teach kids with learning disorders. Some of the schools in some states were actually excluding autistics from their programs. This required by law that all these kids were going to be taken care of in the school systems. Well, unfortunately, that number has increased even from 1996. Every single year, there's more. Now, some people say, well, it's because we're just better at seeing it. Well, there are some very large studies done in the 1990s as well as since 2000 that has looked at that very question to find out, you know, is this really just something, is this something that's always been there and we're just looking at it differently, or is it something new? Well, the study showed that at the best, we can account for 25% of the increase as being able to better recognize the problem and diagnose it more accurately. But that leaves 75% of the increase unaccounted for. Plus, if you ask people that have been in the trenches, the teachers who've been in there for 30 years, and ask them, has there been a change in the kids? And without a doubt, they'll say, yes, it's been incredible. I just spoke to a scoutmaster the other day. He said, you know, he's been doing this for 25 years, and in the beginning, you know, there'd be a few kids with a little problem, and he said, you know, almost half of his scouts now have some kind of problem. And so we have a major change, something that's happening to us that we're not quite fully understanding, that's changing something that's threatening, well, our abilities to function as human beings.
My goodness, yes, those are amazing statistics, and I think it is important to clarify it's not just that our medical tests and diagnoses are better, or that we're just trying to sell more drugs. There really is a change that doctors are seeing and teachers are seeing, and just being in a supermarket, you see it.
Yeah, that's true. Now, some people ask, too, you know, well, wait a minute, why is this happening? Well, there's a variety of theories out there, but we believe that the best explanation is in a new science called epigenetics. And epigenetics looks at genes in a different way. In other words, we have our genetic structure, which is the DNA. And the bulk of research over the last 30 years has gone into genetic research to find the answer for autism, and they've come up pretty much blank. So it's not in the genes. Plus, if it was in the genes, genetic means inherited. Inherited means that, like, for instance, in autism, that means that autistics would have to marry, have children, and those children then would multiply, and they'd have more and more kids with autism. Well, we're seeing it happen in a different way, to where it couldn't possibly be that, because one, autistics marry less often than others, so if anything, it should be decreasing if it was genetic. So that leaves environmental.
So we're up on a break,
Dr.
Forward, so we'll take a moment break and we'll come
back
because this is fascinating.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/voiceamerica or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe, has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. to access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RANDYROLFE.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Hello, this is Randy Rolfe, and we're speaking with Dr. Forwood, who is the director of the Brain Balance Center in Wayne, Pennsylvania, and he works with Dr. Melillo, and they have brain centers that are, balance centers that are opening all around the country. I passed one on my way driving out here to California, and sitting on a hill, big thing. And I'm just so excited because the work that they're doing is absolutely groundbreaking and changing the lives for the better for thousands of families. So this is a real privilege. And we've been talking about how the problems of autism and ADHD, dyslexia, are on an amazingly epidemic increase, and we're just trying to get to what the underlying cause of them are. And so, Dr. Forward, many doctors consider diagnoses like autism and dyslexia incurable or even a matter of pure genetics. Yet you found the solutions and that these conditions can be improved. So what conclusions have you drawn about what is the actual nature of these disorders? We were just talking about epigenetics, and can you expound on that?
Yes, and you're right. And some doctors still believe that these things are incured, but it's fewer and fewer all the time because it's obviously becoming apparent that it's not purely genetic, though there are some genetic things. In fact, the new science of epigenetics tends to explain this the best way we can. And let me try to explain this. It's a complex topic, but I think I can explain it in a way that you can understand something that's happening that's and why it's increasing at the rate it is increasing. But the epigenetic problems, and this started with some experimentation with mice, in fact, my brother-in-law, Robert Waterland, is the one who did this groundbreaking research in epigenetics. And what he did, he took these mice who were all obese, and they were white with brown spots. And while the mother was pregnant, he fed her some particular vitamins. And when the pups were born, they were all born gray and skinny, normal mice, instead of the fat, obese mice, white with brown spots. And then those pups were bred, and they had pups that were skinny and brown and gray. And that continued generation after generation for 7 to 12 generations, when then it reverted back to the real gene, and all the mice thereafter were fat again with white with brown spots. So there was a temporary change caused by an environmental factor of the vitamins that changed the genetic expression of these little mice and caused it to be changed for some time before it snapped back to the normal. So what's happening to us is that there's some types of environmental influences that are changing the expressions of our genes and in the same way. So if we can imagine Like, for instance, there's many different things. Our culture, our sedentary behavior, because movement's so important to development. When we don't move as much, this causes problems. But another thing that we might be able to understand might be toxins in our environment. In fact, there was an article just published in the Journal of Pediatrics a few months ago that showed that as the residual blood levels in kids went up higher and higher with pesticides, organic pesticides in their blood, the residuals. So as those residuals went up, there was a direct relationship to increasing learning disorders. So the higher these chemicals were in the blood, the more problems with learning disorders these kids had. So this is kind of something easy to understand, particularly when this class of chemicals was actually made originally in World War I to kill human beings via their nervous system. So it's not a surprise that it may affect us in a way that's not good for us. But getting back to this idea of epigenetics and understanding how it's causing the increase, if we think back, let's say in the 1950s, where maybe that generation was the first generation to really get a big dose of chemicals as those trucks rode around the neighborhood spraying the mosquitoes with DDT. And so out of the population, some of those people were affected with epigenetic change, which caused them to have children with learning disorders. Now, the next generation has these kids already changed, and they're going to have kids in the next generation. But in the meantime, this generation gets dosed with another set of chemicals. And so more of the population now has the epigenetic change. So that the next generation, there's going to be more, some coming from their parents, and some coming from the direct exposure to chemicals. Same thing happens to the next generation. So now we've got more, and then the next generation more, and more, and more. And this is what's happening. If we look at the numbers, they just keep going up every single year. This is the only scientific explanation that fits the model that shows that there's something environmental that's changing our genetic expression. Because, again, we've not found anything wrong with the genes themselves with all this research and billions of dollars. So it is in the environment, and it's causing problems. Now, the good thing about this is, and that's not a very good thing, but the good thing about it is this, is that if it's an environmental thing that can change the gene expression for the bad, then there could be a something environmental that could change it for the better. And that's what brain balance is about. So we have figured out ways in which to stimulate the nervous system to activate genes so that they turn back on and they start to do the things that they were supposed to do. And then as a result, they create the improvements in the human systems that cause these problems to disappear.
That's fascinating. So if you can do that, then these different diagnoses can be related to one another and all go back to this original problem?
Yeah, that's right. And so, you know, a lot of these problems that are being diagnosed are diagnosed very often from behavior. So back in the 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s, when all these kids were starting to show up in school systems and having problems, the teachers recognized that they were behaving improperly. So they sent them to psychologists, and during this period of time, they developed a nomenclature, a naming system, based on behavior. So if they behaved like hyperactive, inattentive, and whatever else, then they got the name or diagnosis of attention deficit disorder. If they couldn't read and they had language problems, they got dyslexia. If they had certain kinds of lack of eye contact and very inward functionings, they got autism. And so compulsive disorders, Tourette's syndrome, a variety of other things that are all kind of affected in the same way with these effects in the nervous system. But these behaviors are all different, and they aren't they don't really explain what's wrong. They just describe a behavior. And the behavior is really the symptom of the problem and not actually the problem. So when we get the diagnosis of ADHD, we really don't have a clue on how to approach this because it's just a behavior. It's just a symptom of the underlying problem. So how do we actually get to the problem, and what is the problem? We have to understand that the problem is in the nervous system, in the brain, and that's the way at Brain Balance we look at it. And the problem as we see it is very often looking at development. So development occurs sequentially, improving the areas of the brain and making each area of the brain older and older as we develop. Now, development in the brain should equal the age of the child. So if the child is 9 years old, then their brain should be developed at the level of a 9-year-old. But what we're seeing is that there's parts of the brain, and every child is different, but there's parts of the brain that are lagging in development. So this 9-year-old could have a 5-year-old working brain in many areas. The way we look at development is that as a child develops, their ability to learn becomes enhanced. So a child normally developing who's 5 years old can learn much more than a 4-year-old, but they can't learn as much as a 9-year-old. And one of the things that we have, like, for instance, that we all went through when we were 9 is something called long division. And I remember it quite well because it was hard, and it took many months for me to master it. But I did master it. And I think most of our listeners here probably went through a similar experience of struggling with long division and finally getting it. But the point is here is that at 9 years old, we can learn long division. But if you try to teach long division to a 5-year-old, you can teach them till the cows come home. They can't learn it because their brain is not developed to the point of learning how to learn long division. So if you have a child in fourth grade who's 9 years old and his brain in certain areas are only developed to 5 years old, you can teach him till the cows come home, and he's not going to get long division until you can somehow take his brain at 5 and stimulate it up to the point where it develops quickly up to the age of 9. And now all you need to do is teach him, and he'll learn long division. So these are some of the things that are wrapped up in what we call neuroplasticity, the ability of the brain to change through specific stimuli.
Oh, it makes so much sense. Could you explain a little more? We're going to be up on a break in a minute, but I'd like to get started with just the application process. I know you talk about the balance, the brain balance between the right and left hemispheres, and that those are most the parts that get slower than the other parts cause so many of these symptomological, behavioral, and learning problems. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about the right brain and left brain balance. And so just before the break, can you just explain, give one more example if you could, because that long division, everybody can relate to that. That
yeah,
if they tried to learn it 2 years before, it never would have happened.
Right. Well, okay, so, you know, again, when Dr. Manolo published his textbook, which was acclaimed to be the first new breakthrough in learning disorders, it's because he approached it in a different way, and he looked at the brain as having imbalance. So often when the brain is struggling with these developmental irregularities, it tends to kind of push one side or the other. So one side starts to lag behind. And that imbalance actually is the cause, that weak side, unable to function, is the cause of the problems that the children have.
And let's take a break there,
okay.
And we'll come right back, but we need to take
right.
a break.
find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
The Total Education Network is the only network that airs shows 7 days a week on various stations. Please go to our website, www.totaltutor.org, for more information about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide educational news and tips for parents. The Total Education Network, the talk shop for parents, teachers, and administrators. That's www.totaltutor.org.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
We're speaking about the real solutions for ADHD and learning disorders with Dr. Albert Forwood, who is a leader in this field and the director of the Brain Balance Center in Pennsylvania, and they are popping up all over the country because he and his colleague, Dr. Melillo, have come up with true solutions to learning and behavior disorders that they're finding are really caused by imbalances in the brain. And so we want to talk now about how that affects the family, the kinds of cases that you're getting, Dr. Forwood, at the center, and what you see. I've read in Dr. Melillo's book that the parents get very much involved, and you get amazingly quick results, and grade levels jump, and you have a multifaceted approach. So can you tell us more about exactly what happens at the center if a family comes to get help?
Well, sure thing. So, the first step in our process is a comprehensive evaluation. And that evaluation is more comprehensive than anything out there, including anything in a medical environment or anything in a teaching environment, because we're looking at the big picture here. So we do many things that are maybe not as conventional in a medical environment or in a educational venue, but we have our system which works quite well. So the child comes in for one day of testing that takes about 2 hours, which we call sensory motor evaluation, and then they come back for another day of two-hour testing for standardized academic achievement tests to tell us how they're producing academically. And through that, we're able to come up with numbers of things that are not developed properly. So, in other words, if they, on the academic side, if their math abilities, their math number abilities are a year behind than from where they are, then we would say that they're developed a year behind from their brain is not working at the level it should. It's a year behind. Similarly, we're looking at the muscle systems, the sensory systems. So if the eyes aren't functioning correctly, or if visual processing or auditory processing isn't working appropriately, but let's say the child is 2 years behind from where they should be in these areas. And again, each thing that we test is different. So if you're looking at how the pupil light reflex works in the eye, and it's delayed in its development, then that may be different from an auditory assessment that where the hearing isn't quite up to speed, or it might be fine. Anyway, we look at many, many different things, as many things as we can. And through our evaluation, we match that individual with all their unique problems with a program that matches every single issue with the appropriate response that's going to stimulate them at the right way to cause that particular area of the brain to develop faster. So we take these children, we run them through a comprehensive evaluation, we find out their unique profile of deficiencies, we match that with the stimuluses in those deficiencies that are going to cause those developmental areas to improve, and then we start the program. And the program pushes these children in a way that causes their development to speed up. We know from the scientific studies of neuroplasticity that children are special, that when you have the right stimulus, development in children can speed up to 300% faster than normal until they catch up to normal. So we could take the kids and these problems that they're having in their nervous system and speed up the development to the point where they can catch up to where they should be. We're also looking at this hemispheric issue between the right and left brains. The right-left brain research began back in the 1950s when a surgeon up in Canada, Roger Sperry, was trying to help kids with epilepsy, people with epilepsy. And he took a bold approach and cut the corpus callosum, which is the connecting tissue between the right and left hemisphere. And fortunately, it stopped the seizure. But these people were a little different after that, and they started to be able to explore their right and left hemispheres because they were no longer connected. Well, through that, Dr. Melillo became interested in that in his readings and figured out that it was an imbalance in these parts that was a big part of these learning disorders. So kids with right hemispheric problems and a delay in the right hemisphere are different than kids with left hemispheric problems. So the kids who get the labels of autism or ADHD or compulsive disorders typically have this right delay. And the right delay is looking at the big picture and understanding from outside in rather than inside out. So we can take a child we just had a kid with Asperger's, which is a high-functioning autistic child, and typically they have a right, what brain balance looks at is a right brain delay. And so these kids, their left brains are very well-developed, and often they're extraordinary in their ability to do academic work, some types of academic work. But in terms of personal abilities, in terms of social abilities, they have very poor time of it. They don't have any friends. People look at them odd. They act odd. And so this child came into the program. Now, they become, because they can't see from an outside viewpoint, they don't understand what other people are communicating, okay? And they don't really have any appreciation for other people. For instance, we had a little kid, and this may sound insignificant, but it is, if you have an Asperger's child, you'll understand this. But in the program, after the program, this child came to the dinner table and noticed that he didn't have any water, went back to the kitchen, and when he came out, he brought water, not for himself, but for the others that didn't have water. Well, he never did that in his life because he never could appreciate someone needing water unless it was him that needed water. So in Asperger's, once you start to be able to understand other people, then you start to be able to communicate with them. And that's all in, resides in that right brain. So when we can speed that up, we start to increase their ability. And this little kid jumped about 4 years of developmental improvement. Now, the neat thing about this kid, he was in the seventh grade. When he did his academic testing, he tested in the 12th grade in two of the eight subjects that we tested him in.
Wow.
And then after that, he jumped up in the other subjects. He now had four subjects that he was a senior in, and the subjects that he was in the eighth grade in, he was in above all his grade level, but the ones that he was in the eighth grade, he jumped to the 10th grade in. So all of his, even though this kid was incredibly bright, when we got his brain more balanced, even this little genius jumped in his ability to do academic work. Now, we take kids with dyslexia, who are the kids with academic problems, and these kids typically have reading problems, language problems, and that's because the left side of the brain controls those things. So, and often in our 12-week program, we'll take a kid in, let's say in the third grade or in the fourth grade, fifth grade, that can't read. And during that 12-week period, all of a sudden they're picking up books and reading them. And it's because that left brain all of a sudden develops from a lack of development. Maybe they're in the third grade and they're 8 years old, but their brain is back in fifth as a five-year-old in kindergarten, and they really can't read even though they're in the third grade. When we bring that brain up from kindergarten up to first grade, second grade, three-year improvement, then now they're going to start to read at the second grade level. So they can pick up a book all of a sudden, and they're reading. Now, our objective in brain balance is to bring that development from wherever it is up to age-appropriate development. And when we achieve that in a child, they become normalized. So if they have a diagnosis of, let's say, ADHD, those diagnostic qualities that the child would have with ADHD are no longer there when that development comes up. In other words, they lose the diagnosis. They're no longer ADHD.
Isn't that exciting? So they actually lose those symptoms that were most bothersome to their parents at home and to the teachers in school. Just by bringing up the development of the particularly weak hemisphere and the symptoms, which is the social problems and the learning problems, disappear when the brain is brought up to proper maturity level. That's just so exciting that you actually know how to do that. So can we talk? We're up on a break in a minute, but I know there's a number of essential components that you use to stimulate the slower part of the brain, physical, sensory, mental, nutritional. So I do want to go into those so parents will have a sense of what this program looks like. It's a 12-week program, is that right?
Yes. It's our standard program is 12 weeks. We have some different variations of that, but 12 weeks is our program. And,
okay, well, we'll talk about that in a moment.
Okay.
On a break now. Thank you, Dr. Corwood.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
We're talking to Dr. Albert Ford, who's the head of the Brain Balance Center in Wayne, Pennsylvania, and he's been working in this field for over 20 years, but in the last few years has really developed with his colleague, Dr. Melillo, an amazing program that within 12 weeks can help most children with these kinds of diagnoses to see noticeable improvement. And the key is to get to the root cause of the brain imbalance and to customize the treatment. So now I want to talk a little more about the customized treatment. I know you have multiple components and it's in many ways, I've read about them. They're activities that many kids would just do naturally, rolling on the ground or cartwheels or push-ups or watching, listening, that kind of thing. But because of the brain immaturity, they need guidance to do these things. So can you explain a little more about what a parent would be doing with their child or what you would be doing with the child at the center?
Well, sure.
To help this stimulate the brain development.
Yes. Well, we have our standard program is 6 weeks. And, of course, in like a child with a diagnosis with ADHD, which we consider to be the more mild forms of these brain immaturities, but our outcome research shows that if we have children with these conditions of ADHD diagnosed with that, approximately 80% of those children will no longer fit that diagnosis after our 12-week program. Now, this sounds to be an amazing achievement. Well, it is.
Yeah.
There's nothing out there like it that can change this diagnosis, because the systems that we're using don't change the brain. So we have the current systems that are trying to help the kids. They are coping mechanisms, so they only get the child to behave better or fit in better, but they don't change the underlying problem in the brain. We're changing that brain, and the way we do it is through a variety of methods, but there's kind of three parts to our program. One is called sensory motor, another called cognitive, and another is the nutritional part. All three parts are essential in our program. The sensory motor is probably the most interesting and maybe the most important part of our program, and it has to do with movement and that's the motor systems, the body's muscle, neurological system hooked up to the muscles. And in these kids, it's underdeveloped, so they are weaker than they should be. They may be not as coordinated. It depends, again, on the right or left side of the brain where they're going to have gross motor skills and be clumsy, or on the reverse side, they're going to have fine motor skills, which means they're going to have trouble buttoning their buttons and tying their shoes. But they may be athletic. So it depends on the pattern of developmental problems. But each kid is unique. So we have to evaluate every kid very carefully to customize our program to that individual. And so we may do things like, for instance, in the brain, there's an area that controls balance. It has a fancy name called vestibular system. But the vestibular system involves eyesight, because if we're going to fall, we can see ourselves falling. It has the balance in the ears, and it also has a system called proprioception, is the system where we know where our feet and our arms are. We can actually close our eyes and touch our nose quite easily because we know where everything is. Well, a lot of these kids are underdeveloped in different areas, like proprioception. And so if they were to try to walk the balance beam, they're not very good at it because they don't know where their feet are. And so you got to know where your feet are to get it on the balance beam every time you walk across. So what we're going to do, we're going to do different things that wake up that proprioceptive system. Maybe we're going to have them stand on one leg with their eyes closed, or we're going to have them close their eyes and start to work with their body in different ways so that they have to actually use that proprioceptive system to try to figure out how to do it. Each child is tested, so we have different levels of proprioceptive dysfunctions, and it may be an age-appropriate type level. So, but wherever that is, that's where we intervene, right at the level of that child's developmental delay.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, it makes it fun for the kid, because then as he starts to do this activity, it's the activity that he can do, but it's challenging.
Which is perfect. I mean, that's what kids want. They want something that they can feel good about accomplishing, but also that does engage their brains and keeps them interested. That makes a lot of sense. Traditionally, I think teachers have been told to, and even parents and some of the self-help programs today for adults, are all about playing to strength. But as I understand it, that doesn't work for immature parts of the brain. If you're just trying to develop the stronger parts, then that just speeds it up, and the other part falls even further behind. Am I right on that?
Yes, exactly. In fact, that's like kind of throwing the baby out with the bathwater, sort of. I mean, it's giving up on that individual. It's saying, okay, you're permanently injured in that part, so let's give you coping skills in life, and we're going to pick the strongest things that you have, and we're going to work on those to actually cause you to be able to function okay in life. Well, what that does, it ignores the weakness and causes the weakness to settle in and become permanent. Just the opposite approach is needed. We need to identify the weaknesses. And the weakest of the weak is where we have to give the most energy and most focus. And that's the area where you have to really, really push all the weak areas. And we don't want to push on the strong areas, because the brain has naturally kind of gone off balance in that way. And by stimulating its strengths, we're going to create more imbalance, more weakness, and more diversity between the a difference between the strength and the weakness. And we don't want that. We want a balance, because the brain functions as a one-unit brain. If it's out of balance, it can't communicate properly.
Oh, that makes so much sense. And I see, again, the fact that the core cause is a developmental aspect, not a degenerative aspect. I mean, if part of the brain had degenerated, then you might say, well, you know, let's just work with what's left. But in this case, it's there waiting to be developed. So you want to stimulate the weaker part.
Exactly.
And now, from a parent's point of view, if they're worried about their child, what's the best way for them to figure out if your center is where they need to be or whether their child actually has an issue. What are some of the signs that a parent can be aware of, and how soon should they go for help?
Well, one of the keys is that, well, parents have to do a little homework. They have to understand what are the developmental landmarks. When does a child talk? When do they walk? When do they, and this can be a month specific when they're supposed to do this. And if they walk a month early, you might think, oh, wow, that's good. Well, not necessarily. But because it's not in the timing that's so important in development. So if the child is off on their mileposts of development, it starts to give you a red flag. And then, of course, most of these kids are being caught in school. When they get to school, it becomes more obvious that they're having a problem. And that's when teachers may single them out and say, you ought to see a professional about this because, something's not right. Unfortunately, the professional path is often a coping path, a medicated path. The medications used for attention deficit disorder are the number one prescribed drug in the world today. And so,
my goodness. Dr. Forward, I want to make sure listeners know how to learn about your work, and we're already to the end of our show. So what are your websites? How can they reach you? Do you do long-distance counseling and that kind of thing?
Well, we do. There's 50 centers around the country, so there may be one near you. The best way is to go on our Internet site, which is brainbalancecenters.com. So if you just Google Brain Balance Centers, you'll probably find it, be able to get to our site. And then there's a center locator there that can direct you to the closest site. We do work with people who live further away because, well, only 50 centers doesn't cover the entire country. So we have a lot of people that we have to work with, and we train them in home exercises. There's a brain balance program affordable for everybody.
That is great. I'm going to have to cut you off. I'm so sorry, but please, everybody, go to brainbalancecenters.com. Dr. Forward Center is in Wayne, Pennsylvania, and thank you so much for all this great information. It gives great hope and real solutions for an ever-increasing epidemic problem our whole society is facing. So thank you so much for being on my show.
Thank you for the opportunity to be there.
You're very welcome.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.